Hello, Father, I manage, kissing his hollow cheeks.
Did anyone know we'd be seeing a queen today?
He jokes. The laugh makes him cough hard, and Tom has to hold him steady. I can't look at Anne. They're serving tea in the ballroom, I say, steering them upstairs to a quiet, out-of-the-way table, away from the crowd and the gossips. Once we're seated, I introduce Anne.
Charming to see you again, Miss Bradshaw,
Tom says. Anne blushes.
And where is your family today?
My grandmother says, looking around for someone more interesting to talk to than the both of us. She would have to ask that question, and it will have to be answered, and then we'll all sit in awkward silence, or my grandmother will say something unkind under the guise of being kind.
They're abroad, I lie.
Happily, Anne doesn't try to correct me. I think she's grateful not to have to explain that she's an orphan and endure everyone's polite, silent pity. Sudden interest overtakes my grandmother, who, I'm sure, is wondering at this very moment whether Anne's relatives are rich or titled, or both.
How very exciting! Where are they travelling?
Switzerland, I say, just as Anne barks out,
Austria.
Austria and Switzerland, I say. It's an extensive trip.
Austria,
my father starts.
There's a rather funny joke about Austrians.
He trails off, his fingers shaking.
Yes, father?
You were saying something about the Austrians, I remind him. He knits his brows together.
Was I?
There's a lump in my throat that will not go away. I offer the sugar bowl to Tom. Anne's watching his every move with fascination, though he's hardly noticed her.
So,
Tom says, dropping three lumps of sugar into his tea.
Miss Bradshaw, has my sister driven you out of your wits yet with her forthright manner?
Anne blushes.
She's a most genial girl.
Genial? We are speaking of the same Gemma Doyle. Grandmama, it seems Spence is more than a school. It's a house of miracles.
Everyone has a polite laugh at my expense, and truly, I don't mind. It's so nice to hear them laugh, I wouldn't care if they poked fun at me all afternoon. Father fumbles with his spoon as if he's not quite sure what to do with it.
Father, I say gently, could I pour you some tea?
He gives me a weak smile.
Yes, thank you, Virginia.
Virginia. At my mother's name, an embarrassed quiet descends. Tom stirs his tea around and around, chasing it with his spoon.
It's me, Father. It's Gemma, I say quietly.
He squints, turns his head to one side, studying me. Slowly he nods.
Oh, yes. So it is.
He goes back to playing with his spoon. My heart's a stone, sinking fast. We make polite conversation. Grandmama tells us of her garden and her visiting and all about who is not speaking to whom these days. Tom prattles on about his studies while Anne hangs on his every word as if he were a god. Father is lost to himself. No one asks how I am or what I am doing. They could care less. We're all looking glasses, we girls, existing only to reflect their images back to them as they'd like to be seen. Hollow vessels of girls to be rinsed of our own ambitions, wants and opinions, just waiting to be filled with the cool, tepid water of gracious compliance. A fissure forms in the vessel. I'm cracking open.
Is there any news about Mother? Have the police found anything new?
Tom sputters.
Oh, at it again, are we? Miss Bradshaw, you'll have to excuse my sister. She has a keen sense of the dramatic. Our mother died of cholera.
She knows. I told her, I say, watching for their reactions.
I'm sorry that my sister has had such a poor joke at your expense, Miss Bradshaw.
His words to me through gritted teeth are a warning.
Gemma? You know that cholera took poor mother?
Yes, her cholera. Amazing that her cholera didn't kill us all.
Or perhaps it is. Perhaps it's coiled in our blood, suffocating us all slowly with its poison each day. I spit back with an equally venomous smile.
I think we'd best change the subject. Miss Bradshaw certainly does not need to be subjected to such histrionics.
Grandmama dismisses me with a sip of her tea. I think my poor mother is an excellent topic of conversation. What do you think, Father? Come on, Father, stop me. Tell me to behave, to go to hell. Something, anything. Let's see some of that old fighting spirit. There's nothing but the syrupy whistle of wet air coming in and out of his slack mouth. He's not listening. He's lost in his own reflection, the one staring back at him, bloated and distorted in the shiny hollow of the teaspoon he's twirling between skeletal fingers. I can't stand the sight of them huddled together against the truth, deaf and dumb to anything remotely real.
Thank you for coming. As you can see, I'm getting along quite well here. You've done your duty, and now you're free to go back to whatever it is you all do.
Tom laughs.
Well, that's a fine thank you. I'm missing a cricket match for this. Weren't they supposed to civilize you here?
You're being childish and rude, Gemma, and in front of your guest. Miss Bradshaw, please excuse my granddaughter. Would you care for more tea?
Grandmama pours it without waiting for a response. Anne stares at the cup, grateful for something to focus on. I'm embarrassing her. I'm embarrassing everyone. I rise.
I have no desire to ruin everyone's pleasant afternoon, so I shall say goodbye.
Are you coming, Anne? She glances shyly at Tom.
I haven't finished my tea, she says.
Ah, at last a real lady among us.
Tom applauds lightly.
Bravo, Miss Bradshaw.
She smiles into her lap. Tom offers cakes, and Anne, who has never refused a morsel of food in her life, declines as a well-born, properly bred lady should, lest she seem a glutton. I've created a monster.